Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sandy Williams is with us, and I am joined, as promised, by Acting Mayor Cavalier Johnson. Good morning to you, Mayor Johnson. How are you doing?
Good morning, Earl. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Now, I've got to ask you about the decision that came down yesterday about, you know, the problems with the lead issue at the Milwaukee Health Department from 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. That almost seems inconceivable that it was that long ago that this first came, you know, into the public, entry, but it has been. And what are your thoughts about the decision that was rendered?
My thoughts are these, is that, you know, as you mentioned, this is a long time, long-term issue that took place. And, you know, obviously, you know, any time that there's issues that affect our community, particularly our kids, and on an issue like this where there's lead poisoning involved, we take that very seriously. And we have to make sure that, you know, moving forward, that we have the proper people and protocols in place to not have this situation happen again. And so that's what I'm looking to. I'm looking to the future. I'm looking forward. I'm trying to work to make sure that there's understanding, and I believe that there is in my administration, that, you know, we can't have a situation like that happen again. And I believe we got the leadership now in the health department to steer us away from problems like that happening again down the line with our health department.
You know, Mayor Johnson, this didn't happen under your watch, but clearly, it people lose faith in government when this kind of situation happens, and it's not something that can just be skipped over. Many children's lives have been impacted and affected for the remainder of their lives with what took place. Again, it didn't happen under your watch, but to allow this to just be, you know, well, okay, it happened, we're going to move forward. And again, the impact of what it has done to the lives of so many children. And the other part of it is, you know, we're still dealing with a lot of those issues today. You know, today as we speak, children are still being poisoned by leaded water and leaded paint in this city. Everybody's aware of it. You know, we even had Vice President Kamala Harris come here about a month ago or less and talk about the issue, and at the federal government, they were going to address it. Man, I just don't see how this can't be one of the most important issues that our city and that our government shouldn't be working on.
Yeah, no, and you're right. There are people who, and kids, yeah, quite frankly, that have been affected by this and will likely have, you know, some problems that they face as a result of it for many, many years to come. That's why it's important to make sure that, you know, we don't have these sort of issues in the future. That's also why, as you correctly pointed out, Earl, that we need to take a proactive approach on addressing issues of lead in our community. And that's why we invested over $20 million, $26 million, as a matter of fact, in addressing the primary sources for lead in kids. And that's tackling the issue of lead paint, lead dust, lead in the soil. In the first tranche of American Rescue Plan Act funds, and I'm happy that the federal government will continue to be our partner to continue to address this very important issue, not just here but across the country. It's super important, and we need to continue to make these investments.
So you have young children, and you are raising and rearing young children, and they're not exposed because you and your wife are fortunate and blessed enough to not have them exposed to it. But one of the biggest arguments and debates that continues with this lead issue is whether or not it's the leaded paint issue or whether or not it's the lead in the pipes. And And so somewhere along the line, we've got to come to an agreement collectively that both are at the root of the poisoning of children. And yet we just seem to be at two different poles, the North Pole and the South Pole, with, you know, which is the most critically damaging, the lead pipe issue or the lead paint issue.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're both equally as damaging, right?
Most kids in Milwaukee receive lead in their system from the lead paint, lead dust, lead soil, particularly the paint issue. That's where most of the cases arise from. That being said, we all know that there's no acceptable amount of lead, you know, for the human body, whether child or adult. And so we should be working to remove those pipes as well. I'm not saying that we shouldn't take issue on that. I'm saying that when you look at the data, that's where most kids in Milwaukee receive elevated blood lead levels from. We should work to really attack those issues. And when you look at, you know, other communities here in Wisconsin that have successfully removed all the lead-based laterals from their communities, Madison in particular, they still have issues where kids in particular are getting lead in their system, are getting lead in their bodies, is because we have across the state this issue where, you know, there's lead in paint and in soil and in dust. Look at even Milwaukee, right? The 14th aldermanic district on the south side, Bayview, that aldermanic district actually has the highest concentration of lead laterals, the lead pipes in the city. But you don't see the kids in that neighborhood, in that district, having elevated blood lead levels as high as you do on the north side. That also has, you know, lead pipes, certainly. But you don't see that happening to the same degree in Bayview. Why? It's because we got this issue with paint and soil and dust that we have to make sure that we focus on. That's where most of it comes from.
So let me, and then we'll move on. But 40 years ago in this city, Alderman Johnson, Mayor Johnson, I remember a national issue with leaded paint. The federal government was suing the paint industry for the lead and that was in children 40 years ago. It's still hard for me to accept that in a nation as powerful as this one, we're still talking about how we're going to eradicate lead paint. I mean, supposedly there was a war against that 40 years ago, long before you were even born. And here we are, yeah. And this is, again, you didn't create this. You just got here. But I'm just saying, it's hard to accept that we live in a nation that hasn't been able to eradicate these things. And the paint companies have been sued 40 years ago, and we're still dealing with the same thing.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. But that's, you know, part of the reason why we have to continue to follow the science here, right? If we're going to have the highest impact addressing the issue, then we have to follow the science. And the science tells us that most kids receive elevated blood lead levels from these other sources. Now, it's also important to make sure we take out the pipes. And, you know, for a city like Milwaukee, that's a, you know, near $1 billion, you know, expense. And so we're going to need the partnerships of other levels, particularly the federal government, in order to address the issue. So I want to attack them both. We used our money at the local level in ARPA to, you know, put a dent in the paint and the soil and the dust. And we're going to work with the federal government to have the impact in the other space and getting those laterals out of the ground in the city.
Let me ask you, Mayor Johnson, about the crime issue, because everywhere, you know, I don't know. Milwaukee's not alone. And the crime issue across the nation just seems to be getting more and more out of control. You know, there are some people who think the answer to all of it is more law enforcement. I constantly push back against that. Your opponent is one of those people who seems to believe that we need to just have more and more law enforcement to solve these issues. You say what?
Well, I say that police can't do it alone. I mean, it's 2022 for heaven's sake. Like, we know that. We know that they can't do it alone. I mean, if you ask any credible police officer, I mean, they'll tell you that they can't do it alone. They can't be everywhere. They can't be in homes raising children. They can't be, you know, they can't be the be all end all. And so we need holistic public safety in Milwaukee and in cities like it across the country. That certainly includes police. They are a valuable partner and part of the public safety apparatus, and they should be there, but not just them. We need mental health services. We need earlier interventions in the lives of young people. We need violence prevention. And, you know, at the root of this, Earl, my belief is that we need to stabilize the families in our city. You know, and I often look back to what Milwaukee was in the past, having the highest quality of life for African Americans in the United States, right? And when folks had those family support and opportunities and they had less financial stress, you had more stability in the neighborhoods and more stability, most importantly, in the lives of the people who live in those neighborhoods. And when you have that, then you don't have these magnified issues of poverty, which then lead to violence. Like, that's where our focus ought to be. And that's what I'm going to be focused on as mayor.
You know, Mayor Johnson, having said that, what are the chances of bringing back viable businesses to the city, and especially in the African-American community? When I read a statistic that, again, another one of the worst statistics for African-Americans in the entire nation, Milwaukee is the worst place with black business owners. Out of all these cities across the nation, comparable in size to Milwaukee, we are, again, worse than any other nation for creating black businesses. What can you do, if anything, to improve those numbers, which are pathetic, to say the least?
Yeah, we've got a lot of work to do on the economic development front, and that's why I released a comprehensive plan on economic development and the future of economic prosperity in Milwaukee. But to your question, I mean, it's important to make sure that there are opportunities for family support and work and business creation for people of color in the city of Milwaukee. I want to see that. That's why I've been a champion for trying to make sure that there are multiple ways, multiple opportunities to create new jobs in Milwaukee. And I'll point to, you know, these two things that are happening right now in our city that I was proud to have a hand in because they present an opportunity for people in this city to have family support and work, right? The Couture that's going up downtown right now, you know, that's a great skyline defining project downtown, but it also represents 1 million construction hours. And because of our residence preference program presents an opportunity for people who live in the depressed neighborhoods that I grew up in, you know, African-American folks on the south side and comparable zip codes like 53204, Latino folks, to have access to a family supporting job in the trades, in construction, right? It isn't as if we're going to have, you know, one company that comes and plops down 20,000 jobs in the middle of the city like, you know, perhaps there used to be in the past. We have to find new ways to level people up and give them an access point into the economy. And so that is one. Another is, you know, Milwaukee Tool, right? They're going to be bringing, you know, up to 2,000 jobs, making $75,000 a year right here to the city, downtown, accessible, bus lines, you know, all that sort of stuff. So that's also an avenue. And then in terms of entrepreneurship, we got to work to make sure that people of color know about the opportunities that are available, right? We've got to let them know that there is accessibility to resources to help them to get their businesses up and running. I went just a couple of weeks ago to the Upstart Kitchen, and all these incredible resources that are helping entrepreneurs in the food space to scale up, to level up, so they can take their trades from an incubator kitchen like that and then spin them out into their own brick and mortar location in a commercial corridor, right? We need to make sure that there's more opportunity like that available and that people know the resources that are out there.
So Mayor Johnson, do you think that at the root of this is the fact that people aren't aware of the opportunities that exist, or is there something more sinister, which you hear many people in our community say are at the root of it?